Good morning.
So this morning, as we were worshiping and when we practice worship before, we always try to worship as much as we can while we're practicing. And as we were practicing, we were singing that kind of repetitive part of that last song, Jesus, We Love You, where it says, our affections, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. And it reminded me of the story of Martha and Mary, so that's how I want to open up this morning. So Luke 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is the good portion. And this morning we're going to talk about spending time with Jesus on a day-to-day basis. Spending quiet time with Jesus on a day-to-day basis. We just ended our Heroes of the Faith series, and now we're going into a series that we're calling Back to the Basics. And it's actually based off of this book by Greg Ogden. It's called Discipleship Essentials. And it actually is written to be a study guide between two or three guys or maybe a small group. And it just has questions that you fill out and a little section that you read. And I really want to go through it with some people. So I have 5 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. every morning. I don't have any appointments that early, but I would love to meet with you. This is the first time I'll invite you and be praying, Lord, do I want to go and meet with Levi at 5:30 or 5 a.m. in the morning? And if that's too early, still come talk to me. I would love to meet with you. It's like my favorite thing in the world, to meet with people and to talk about our relationship with Jesus and try to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And that's really what we're doing here this morning as well. And what we're going to be talking about is our quiet time with Jesus and how we can use that to grow in our relationship with him. Simple outline, what, how, and why. What should our quiet time look like? How can we do quiet time with Jesus? And why should we have quiet time with Jesus? I want to incorporate as much scripture as possible because I might mess up and say something wrong, but Isaiah says that the word of God never comes back void. So at least there will be some good stuff that I know was good this morning. So let's actually start in Hebrews chapter 4, right at verse 11, and a little bit of context. The author of Hebrews has been talking about Moses and how God called Moses to bring the Israelites out of Egypt and to the promised land. But when they got to the promised land, when they got to what they called the rest of God, they decided that it was too scary and they didn't want to go there. Because of that sin, God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all of them died off, and then the next generation went into the promised land with Joshua and went into God's rest. Well, the author of Hebrews is saying that was a partial fulfillment when they went into the promised land, but the complete fulfillment was when Jesus came and died on a cross so that we could have his righteousness and be in his presence and be with God and be in his rest. And then we come to verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience, not going into the rest like the Israelites did. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What we're talking about this morning is drawing near to the throne of grace. And this passage actually gives us several ways that we can do that. It starts out by just simply saying, enter into God's rest. And then it goes into, like, it kind of seems like it's almost out of nowhere. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to bone and marrow, to all the way down to the soul. So one way that we can commune with God, one way that we can rest in him is through his word and reading his word. And finally, because we have a great high priest who has interceded on our behalf, we can actually be in relationship, we can actually talk to, we can actually sense Jesus in our heart. We have Jesus in our heart. You know, some people will quote Matthew and they'll say, where two or more are gathered, Jesus is also there. Well, that's actually talking about church discipline, but also where one Christian is, Jesus is there. If you have received the gospel, repented of your sin, and are believing in Jesus, he is always with you, even when you're alone. And he calls us to be in deep, intimate relationship with him. Not just to go to him when we need stuff, but to actually have a relationship with him. And he actually demonstrated this especially in the Gospel of Mark, but in all the Gospels, he continually goes and goes to solitude. Mark 1:35 is one example. He goes into solitude and he seeks God and he prays to the Father. And it says that he does this. It really happens a lot that he goes and does this. Why does Jesus do this? Like, he's God. Like, why does he? Because of his relationship with the Father. He wants to spend time with the Father. That's what I'm calling us to this morning. Not to just go to quiet time, go to spend time with Jesus so we can get stuff, but so that we can have relationship with Jesus. My wife Ashley and I have been married for 3 years. And let me tell you, if I never spoke to her, if I never spent any time with just her and I where I was talking and listening, that relationship would really suffer. One of the most common illustrations for God and his people and their relationship is marriage. So we should be treating Jesus as our spouse that we need to stay in relationship with and prioritize and spend time with. This is kind of the really practical way that you could do this. I'll just kind of give an example. It doesn't have to be this exactly, but you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you take your shower, you get your cup of coffee, you go and sit at your favorite chair before anybody else is awake, and you sit there with your Bible and you pray, God, help me to commune with you this morning. Help me to worship you this morning. Help me to relate with you this morning. And then you open up the Bible and you listen to what he has to say. Don't make it a one-sided conversation. Ashley can kind of be an internal processor and I'm kind of a verbal processor. So sometimes when we talk, I end up talking for like 10 minutes and then I'm like, oh, I need to let you talk too. Don't, with Jesus, he's infinitely wise. He knows everything. Let him have a word, you know? It's important for us to talk to him, but it's also really important to let him talk to us. And how does he do that? Well, Hebrews 1:1 says, "At many times and in many ways, the Lord has spoken to us through prophets and different ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, through the Word that we have." So go to the Word. Wake up, pray that he would speak to you. Prayerfully read the Scripture. And what I mean by that is, as you're praying, don't think of it as an intellectual exercise, but think of it as, what does God have to say to me this morning? This Word is a two-edged sword that can cut to my soul. What is God saying to me this morning? What are some promises in this Word? What are some calls to action in this Word? And then maybe you turn to a devotional after that. Right now I'm reading the book Gentle and Lowly, which isn't devotional, but I'm reading it devotionally. So maybe turn to a devotional. And then end with a prayer just about the day. What are you going to be doing? What do you need help with? Ask for things. He wants us to ask for things. And maybe this is all happening. Maybe you start out and you just do 15 minutes. Try to get it, I wake up 15 minutes earlier. Go to bed 15 minutes earlier. And then hopefully the Spirit will stir up in you a desire to go and relate to God and commune with him. And that time will get bigger and bigger to satisfy the amount of time that you want to spend with God. So what is stopping us from doing this? Like, I'm not very good at this. I'll just be very transparent. I got to look at the different options of what to talk on in this series, and I saw, quiet time, and I was like, oh, I want to learn about quiet time, because I want to do quiet time better. Because I can be so inconsistent with this. I'm not coming to you as someone this morning that's like, here's what I do, and this is what you need to do. I'm coming to you saying, here's what the Bible says, and here's what we need to be doing. We need to be seeking relationship with Jesus. So this sermon is as much for me as it is for you. What is stopping us from doing this? What is stopping us from pursuing our relationship with Jesus and being excited about waking up early in the morning to spend time with our God? Well, Romans 7:18 says this, "For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." It talks about our flesh, that we still have our sinful flesh that is trying to keep us from doing good works, trying to keep us from pursuing Jesus, from having relationship with him. And it does this in a lot of kind of weird and subtle ways. Some not so subtle, and some really subtle ways. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says, "I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, and your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Your thoughts will be led astray. The reason why we don't spend enough time with Jesus, the reason why we're inconsistent, is because we don't have him high enough on our priority list. We might say, oh, it's God, and then my family, and then my church, and then my work, and then, entertainment. You might say that's what your priority list is, but what do your works show? Maybe it shows work, 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 family, or work, 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 entertainment, family, church, God. Like, what do your actions show? Where is your priority list? This morning I have a little bit of a practical illustration. Think of this like your life. Or maybe you could, if it helps, you can narrow it down. This can just be one day, 24 hours of time. I have these tennis balls, and these are your priorities. Your marriage, your children, your job, church. So you have these priorities in here, and then you have All the other stuff, this can be whatever you want. Maybe it's even good stuff, like, you know, listening to a podcast or a sermon or listening to worship music. But you fill up all the rest of your space with this stuff. I brought a tarp for a reason. All right, that's pretty good. Okay, so this is all the time that you spent right here. Now, if I had started with the sand, if I had started with all the other stuff, if I had started with browsing Facebook and watching, binging Netflix and all that, I wouldn't have room for these priorities anymore. The sand would have filled that space, but because I put the sand in last and I put my priorities first, I had time even to do some of that frivolous stuff that isn't on your priority list. But what if I forgot something? What if I had a priority that I forgot? I can't work it into the space that the sand fills. So that's what I think a lot of us do with our quiet time with Jesus. We fill up all of our space with the frivolous stuff, with sand, and then we're like, how do I don't have time. We need to put the priority of spending time with Jesus in first. And that's why I think it's a good practice to do your devotional time in the morning. The reality is that our sin is going to try to lead us astray. Ever since the garden, we have been trying to fulfill our desires, find our rest, find our peace in the wrong places. We need to put our relationship with Christ first to help stop this. But honestly, easier said than done. Like, it is still so challenging. Even if you get, and I'm going to try really, really hard. I'm just going to try so hard to do what I'm supposed to do and spend my time with Jesus. I'm going to try so hard. And it, eventually, maybe a week goes by, maybe two, and then you fall out of the habit again. How do we do it? We need the Spirit to help us. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Paul wrote that as well. He earlier said, you know, I can't do what I want to do. And here he says, but if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So how do you walk by the Spirit? Well, we already mentioned, be in the Word. Read the Word. The Spirit can speak to you through the Word. Pray. And when I say pray, I'm saying pray that the Spirit would work in you, that He would uphold a willing spirit in you to pursue Jesus. Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. If you don't know how to pray and you're kind of someone who, I'm not sure, I'm just not very good at praying, I don't really know what to say, go open up the book of Psalms. David literally wrote a book that he was inspired to write, worshiping God and praying to Him as an example for us to learn how to worship and pray. So just go and pray through the Psalms. Read Psalm 1. Lord, help me be a righteous man. Help me to not walk in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Help me live by the Word. Just take a psalm every day. Pray through that. And finally, the Spirit works through fellowship, through relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. I have been praying all week that He would be working this morning in your heart, that He would be convicting you to seek Him more, to seek God more. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. The Spirit is like flame, and we are like wood. We're just a stack of wood over here doing nothing, just sitting there. We're just dead wood. And the Spirit is like the flame that can produce light and heat in that wood and make it do what it's supposed to do, be productive. We're like a dead body lying on the ground, and the Spirit can make us alive. So pray for the Spirit's help. Pray that He would restore your heart. And get accountability. Get into a small group. Talk with people from church. Message your friends and say, hey, let's get together and spur each other on in the faith. Spur each other on to do good works and reach the lost. Let's go. Let's follow Jesus together. Let's live the call together. Or maybe meet with me at 5 a.m. any morning. I'm free every morning, even Sundays. I'm free at 5 a.m. on Sundays. I would love to meet with you. I'll even drive to go and meet with you because I want to pursue Jesus, and I want you to pursue Jesus too. I want you to pursue relationship with Him. Now we get to my favorite part. This is what I've been waiting for all morning. Why? Why do you want to pursue relationship with Jesus? What's the big deal? Why would you want this? Well, first, simply, you do it for God. God created everything, and He created you to be in relationship with you and for you to put Him first, and we constantly are putting other things first. It says in Exodus 20, verse 4, that have no other gods before me, for God, your God, is a jealous God. God is jealous for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He wants your time. He wants your relationship with Him. He created you to be in relationship with Him. John Piper said that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. How simple is that? God isn't telling you to go and be perfect and do all these things. All He's saying is, be satisfied in me. Love me. Be in relationship with me. Come to me. And that will please God. So do it for God. And do it for yourself. God's command to come to Him is so simple. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. In all four Gospels, this is the place that Dane Ortlund said is the one place where Jesus tells us what His heart is, what He seeks after, the reason why Jesus gets out of the bed in the morning. He says at one place, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest in your souls. For I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the only place that we see His heart for us. And what is His heart for us? That we would just go to Him with all of our burdens, with everything that we're carrying, all the sin, all the weight of our anxiety, our depression, our sorrow, our mourning, our back pain, our everything. He's calling us to just come to me. Everyone who is heavy laden, everyone who has weight on their shoulders. Guess what? That's everybody. Don't try to get good to go to Jesus. It says here that you're not good. That's what qualifies you to go to Jesus. He's combating here the Pharisees who think they're all that, think that they're awesome and that they don't have sin. And He's saying, actually, you recognizing that you're a sinner is a requirement. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And if you're not heavy laden, you don't think you're heavy laden, then you're fine. I didn't come here to save you. Go to Jesus. He is kind. I'm going to read a section that really was profound to me this week for my devotional, for Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. Highly recommend. The word translated easy in his statement, my yoke is easy, needs to be carefully understood. Jesus is not saying life is free of pain or hardship. This is the same word elsewhere translated kind. As in, for example, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Consider what Jesus is saying then. A yoke is the heavy crossbar that is laid on oxen to force them to drag farming equipment through the field. Jesus is using a kind of irony, saying that the yoke laid on his disciples is a non-yoke. The burden laid on his disciples is a non-burden. For it is a yoke of kindness. Who could resist this? It's like telling a drowning man that he must put on the burden of a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, sputtering, "No way, not me. This is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters. The last thing I need is the added burden of a life preserver around my body." That's what we are all like. Confessing Christ with our lips, but generally avoiding deep fellowship with him. Stop trying to do things on your own. Stop trying to force the habit of daily devotionals, daily time with Jesus. Being heavy laden is a requirement for you to go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And when you do, you will be empowered by him. When you have Jesus at the source of your life, when you start every day with Jesus, and when you find your satisfaction in God, that will be contagious. It'll be like a light that shines and shows all of those people around you what they could have with a relationship with Jesus. It empowers you to go and do, go and spread the gospel, go and make disciples. Disciple simply means follower. When you follow Jesus, he helps you to bring others to follow him. He lights your wood on fire. He brings your body back to life. When you are fueled by relationship with Jesus, you have power to do his work. We can have relationship with Jesus now. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they sinned by saying, "I don't want relationship with God. Instead of relationship with God, I want to eat this fruit. I want to do it my own way." And ever since then, God has, all of the Old Testament, I was speaking to my Wi-Fi repairman this last week, and he told me, well, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are completely different because, you know, he matured. And I'm like, actually, praise God that he didn't. Let me explain something to you. In the Old Testament, we sinned against God. Adam and Eve sinned against God. And ever since then, everyone was sinful to God, and everyone was under the wrath of God, death. They were going to die because they sinned. And you see God pouring out his wrath on people all throughout the Old Testament. The reason why he's doing that is because they're interacting with him and he's holy. And if they're in his presence and they're not holy, the only thing that they can do is die. When Moses goes up to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, if any of the Israelites even touch the mountain, they die. The mountain that God is on, you touch that mountain and you die. This God sent Jesus, his son, to go into the world, to die on the cross, paying the punishment for us, so that he could be in relationship with us, so that we wouldn't die when we were in his presence. Jesus died so we could have communion, so we could have relationship with God, that we were designed and created to have, so we could have fulfillment in God. Communion and quiet time it's a perfect Sunday to do communion, because when we take this cup, we're remembering the cross, and it's the cross that it took for us to have relationship with God. Accept Jesus' work on the cross and go to him for rest. He is gentle and lowly, and he commands us to go to him. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me and what I did on the cross." Let's partake. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your suffering. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for bearing the wrath of God so that we don't have to. Thank you for doing it all just so we could be in relationship with you, so that we could be in your presence day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Help us to not take that for granted, Lord. Help us to pursue relationship with you. Help us to take advantage of your work on the cross. Amen.